The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. Now, I've said plenty of times on this podcast that the only good financial decisions I've ever made in my life all have to do with real estate. And it's been an insane few years with the real estate industry, so I thought we would dive into it with my guy, Arthur Blackburn, a senior loan advisor who I've personally used to finance a few of my real estate transactions. Arthur is super knowledgeable, and if you have any questions about mortgages or the home buying process, there's a good chance that we answer them in this episode. It's dope. So let's get to it. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Live.
Yeah.
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 71 now, the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today, a friend of mine, somebody that's actually done a couple mortgages for me, Arthur Blackburn. Welcome in.
How you doing? Pleasure to be here.
I'm glad you're here, my brother. Now, like I said, you've done two mortgages for me, but you're also a real estate investor yourself. So we have a lot we can talk about here, but I thought I would talk about just the very beginning. If you're a first-time home buyer, and I think a lot of people look at homes and be like, I wonder what I can afford. Before you talk to a realtor, they need to talk to somebody like you, correct?
Exactly. And realtors know this more so than anybody else. You have to be pre-approved before you start looking at houses. Because how do you know what house range to look for if you don't know what you're pre-approved for? So a lot of people get that misconstrued and they don't understand that. But that's why you have to find a real estate professional, a mortgage professional to help direct you and be your Moses, you know, Dola. So, yeah, I'm the first stop, really. It's really about just listening and finding somebody to help guide you along the process, Dola. And that's the main part. Once they find somebody that can help them along in the process, that's where to start.
We hear the terms like pre-qualified and pre-approved. Can you tell us the difference between those two?
So pre-qualified is just letting me know exactly, hey, I'm making $60,000 a year. My credit is this. I've been on my job for this amount of time. Okay, you sound like you're pre-qualified.
Gotcha.
But then once I get the documents and once I get into the nitty gritty, Dola, then that's when you get pre-approved.
Run that credit score. Yeah.
There you go. Run the credit score, check the financial documents and all that. But the pre-approval doesn't mean that you're ready to purchase the house, because you still have to go through the whole process with finding a home, the underwriter, which you understand the underwriter. They definitely give you problems and issues, but it's a part of the process. I always tell a shout out to William Wilson, number one realtor in the nation. I always tell him to tell his clients that, hey, if you had $300,000 and you were letting somebody borrow $300,000, you're going to get everything, cross your T's, dot their I's, see where they were at last night. You know what I mean, Dola? So they got to understand the perspective. You got to have perspective when purchasing a house.
What exactly is an underwriter? Let's define some of these terms as we go along. What does an underwriter do?
Okay. We're getting in depth. We're getting into it. Okay. So underwriter is, I'll put it in terms that people understand, the gatekeeper. They're like the gatekeeper to you getting into your home. They're the ones that are going to look in depth at your credit history, at your income. They're going to verify all of the documents that you submitted, all the documents that you sent in, and they're going to make sure that everything is on the up and up and you are qualified for purchasing this home. Everybody hates them, but they're not bad people, Dola. They have a job just like us, brother. They have a job just like us, and they're trying to save their job, so they have to do their job correctly. They have to understand that the underwriter is getting the loan packaged and ready to sell to the investor. This is going a little bit more in depth, Dola.
No, let's go. Let's go all the way
ahead.
Yeah.
So whenever the underwriter approves, fully approves, clear to close your loan, that loan is then sold more than likely to an investor after 2 months. So if the investor picks up something that the underwriter didn't, guess who's liable for that loan?
The underwriter. Whew. Yeah.
So when you get in depth and you start seeing the intricacies about it, you're like, okay, the underwriter has a lot on their back.
Yeah. One thing that you and I have been through is subpar appraisals.
Oh, I knew you were going there, Nola. I knew you were going there.
No, because you did something that I don't know many mortgage people would do. And I told you, I'm like, yo, we got a bullshit appraisal. We went back and we did what we had to do, but you fought to get me a better appraisal and a more accurate appraisal, because my home was worth more than what the appraisal said it was. But I think a lot of mortgage people would have been like, well, the appraisal wasn't there. We're done here.
But see, the thing is, Dola, it wasn't just me that fought. We fought together.
We did.
As a conglomeracy. We were together in that fight. You had the information. You had a lot of the comps. You had the square footage. You had things that I could fight with. Mm. You gave me ammo. You know what I mean? The actual word for it is called a reconsideration of value. So when you don't like the underwriter's value that they gave a loan, you do a reconsideration of value. And that's what we did. Once an underwriter states their value, it's very hard to sway them. But once we had the ammunition, like you did, we were able to fight it and we got the value up substantially too. So shout out to you also, because that's not an easy feat. That's not an easy feat whatsoever.
It doesn't happen all the time.
Listen, I'm going to say the change of value probably happens 20% of the time, brother. Wow. 20%. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Because once an underwriter puts that value down, it's going to be hard to sway them.
That gives a lot of power to the appraisal, to the appraiser. A lot of power to the appraiser.
Oh, you going deep everywhere today, brother. Yeah. Hey, the appraiser has so much power. So I'll just tell a short story real quick. I had one file. The appraiser vanished. He went Casper on us. So, you know, to purchase a house, you got to have an appraiser. We're trying to contact him. We're 2 weeks. The appraisal report is done. But he's gone. We're in the middle of having to cancel this appraisal and order another one or wait for him to respond back.
Wow.
So he finally responded, but he set us back at least 2.5 weeks. Wow. And it was all on the appraisal. We had to have that appraisal report, and ordering it again would take another 3 weeks. So we were kind of in a bind. So yeah, they have a lot of power. And then if you try to chastise them or anything of that nature, nothing happens.
Now they get mad. Yeah.
You got me on my soapbox right now, brother. But it
also can go the complete other way, because I tell people all the time, and maybe I can break some of this down, but I bought my second home in the neighborhood that I'm in now back in 2012. And when my wife and I found the lot that we built our home on, our current home on that we live in now, we built this entire home and didn't have to put any money down on it. And I didn't come out of pocket a dime, just based off of equity from that we had in the other house. And then by the time our house was prepared, was ready to go after we built it, I got a good appraisal on it and I didn't have to come out of pocket anything. So it kind of goes both ways with the appraisal.
You're exactly right. The appraisal can be your savior or he can be a curse.
Yeah.
Point blank.
And that's something else I kind of wanted to get into, was the different types of loans that they have. So like when we did that first one, it's like, I think it's called a bridge loan or construction loan, where basically we owned one house and they took over the mortgage for that house. Right. And leverage. Then they lended us the money. Yeah. They lended us the money to build the other one. So I'm basically paying one mortgage, the house that we live in, combined with the house that we're going to live in. And we just paid interest. There's a million different types of loans out here that you can get. But there's also been a history, especially, you know, in this country, you remember back, you know, 14 years ago of bad loans that were being given out to people. Are there still loans that people need to stay away from in this day and time?
Nola, you asking all the questions, brother. Hey, do you do this? Do you do this in real life?
No, I've done it a few times. Yeah.
Yes, I would say they are getting very creative, Dola. Very creative with the new loan products that they're coming out with. It's helping people get into houses, but I have noticed that they are becoming very creative, and a lot of the programs of old are becoming the programs of new, and they're being dug up from the gray.
You would just stick to a regular 30-year fixed. Is that the best product?
But see, there's people that should be homeowners that might write off all their income because they're self-employed. You know, there's people that it sometimes makes sense. We have a loan right now where if you can show the lease papers and how much they're paying for the lease, and your mortgage is a DSCR, it's called a DSCR, and your mortgage is the same or less than what the rental income is, you have a loan, an investment loan.
Wow. With a product like that, do you have to put the 20% down, or is it a...
Yeah. You have to put the 20% down. So they need skin in the game on that dollar, which it kind of coincides with, hey, we're taking a high risk with you, mm-hmm. but you need to put 20-25% down on it. Depending upon your credit score, you need a, I'd say a 720 credit score at least. To maneuver in that.
I think back in the day, because we, my wife and I do own a rental property. I think back mm-hmm. in the day, I think it was if you show that the home is leased, it doesn't count against your credit or when you're applying for a new mortgage or something. Is that still the standard or is it?
Yes. Yes. That is the standard. As long as it's not FHA, if it's FHA, you're going to have to move 50 miles away for mm-hmm. that to work out. But conventional, yes, that's 100% correct. But the one I'm talking about, you can buy it if you show you have a renter in it and they're paying $1,500 and your mortgage is going to be $1,500, 20% down. You can move forward. No tax documents, no pay stubs.
Oh,
no.
Wow. Oh, yeah, they want to look at it.
See, now you understand what I'm saying. Now you understand.
Is the interest rate on that higher because they're not looking at you? Or?
And that's an excellent question. So that's what we would call a non-QM loan. Mm. So that means a non-qualified mortgage. So a qualified mortgage is a FHA, conventional, VA, USDA. Those are your qualified mortgages. But a non-QM would be your bank statement, I-10 loans, DSCR, things of that, 1099, things of that nature.
Okay. If I'm just somebody and I have, let's say I have no money to put down on anything, mm-hmm. but I want to start real estate investing, is there a starting point for me or is it I need to come up with 20% and figure this out?
That's an excellent question also, because it starts with finding somebody that's going to hold your hand and take you through the process. Mm-hmm. Like if I was trying to get in radio, mm-hmm. no, I can't just jump in and go to radio. I need to holler at you. You know what I mean? And, right. and you can show me the path and tell me on ways where I won't bump my head. So, the main thing is credit, Dola. Mm-hmm. Get your credit score as high as possible. If you don't have the money, you have to come up with a compensating factor, and that's going to be your credit. Credit and job history. So get your credit as high as possible. There's so many different down payment assistance programs in the nation. And in Tennessee, you know me, I'm in Houston, and I work a lot out of Tennessee. But yeah, man, if you have the good a high credit score, there's so many down payment assistance programs that can help you into purchasing a home and getting you in that house.
Yeah. And I think for FHA, the standard, I know historically people think 20%, but it's really at now it's 3.5, correct?
So 3.5 for FHA if you're a first time home buyer and have an excellent credit score, 3% for conventional.
Okay.
The rates have drastically gone up.
They have. I wanted to talk to you about that. What's happening right now? I'm in the middle of a construction loan right now. I'm going to have to refinance this thing by the end of the year, and I'm shaking.
As you should be shaking, though. As you should be shaking.
It's not what I wanted you to say to me right now.
I'm not going to lie to you, though. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Look, I'm kind of upset with myself because I want to buy a new primary residence. I should have bought that last year, January, because now instead of 2.875, 2%, we're basically in the 5%, Dola. I know it hurts.
Oh, it does.
It does. It hurts me too, Dola. But
I'm telling my contractor to slow down. Like, bro, we don't need this for a while. Slow down.
But the thing is, Dola, they've been doing nothing but what they've been saying. And this is the first time they've been telling the truth about going up in rates. They said they were going to do the rate hike in March, and it started in February. And it's just been going up a hill. It's been going up the hill and escalating every month. It did it again today, pretty substantially.
Is it
going
to fall anytime soon?
Dola, I'm not Miss Cleo, my brother. I wish I could tell you that. Right now, I think that we're just on an uptrend and they have to make up for the inflation, brother. For every cause, there's an effect, and they have to get that money back. And that interest is to wait.
Well, I hope they get it back by the time my little project is done and I have to refinance it to a conventional. Dola,
I pray that happens also, but I'm going to tell you the reasons why or how that can happen. Some of the ways: a catastrophic event, the wars, which we don't want that to happen, of course, but wars can definitely bring down the rates, economy, horrible economy, to make it make sense. But we've already done inflation. So how can you go back to going with the lower rates? You know, we're kind of in a pickle there. So, yeah, it's kind of, Dola, I don't see it going down, brother. I don't see it going down. Or you know, the COVID, a catastrophe like COVID could happen again, where everybody's inside, the economy's at a standstill. that might could make right subside, but they have to do this.
Yeah. So you think they'll just keep going up? You don't think they'll settle somewhere reasonable, like four where they were before COVID? You know what I mean? Like three and a half.
I want to say yes, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to be in the fives and sixes. God, that hurt me to say.
Man.
That hurt me.
Because you got to pay it too. Like,
that's what I'm saying. I might do the job, but I'm an investor just like you said. So I'm purchasing homes and refinancing and things of that nature too. So I'm thinking fives and sixes, though, the way that everything's going. But I pray that it goes back down. But if you really have been in the game for a while and you know what interest rates were back in the day when our mothers and fathers were living and what they had to go through, they were in the 10s to 19%, brother.
My God.
Yeah.
Home prices then were much, much lower.
There you go. That's a true statement. But they were still paying 10, 19% interest rate. They were paying credit card interest rates on houses.
Ah, my God, that hurts.
That hurts.
Right now, the property values are at an all-time high. I mean, I literally cannot believe what my real estate portfolio is worth right now. Yeah. Do you see housing prices falling because the rates are going up, or it just seems like everything's going up?
It seems like everything's going up, though. The thing about it is inventory. Mm. There's a low amount of inventory on the market, and you're having deals where people are offering. There's 25 offers because a lot of people are getting smart and getting educated, Dola, and understanding that home buying is a lot better than renting when you can build equity into yourself instead of making somebody else rich.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people are becoming educated, which is a beautiful thing. There's so many people trying to purchase right now. But the negative to that, Dola, is that the inventory is low. There's nowhere to buy. Mm. You have competition. 10, even five people is a lot of competition on a house, especially if you have competition on a cash buyer or somebody putting 20% down and you're coming in with the down payment assistance or 3.5 FHA. You see what I'm saying? So it's a gift and a curse to have so many educated buyers right now, but the inventory is low. So it's hard to get people in houses right now.
Yeah. And I think it's even harder if you're young. I remember I bought a condo downtown on the river in 2006, 2007, something like that.
Oh,
I wish I still had it.
I was about to ask you that question.
It was 650 square feet. I bought it for $110,000. It's worth $400,000 today.
But Dola, that's the power of real estate.
That's
what people need to understand.
Yeah, it is.
That's what people need to understand.
Had I held on to it, I would be killing it right now. But I tell people that I say that to say that, like, on the salary and the money that I was making back then, which wasn't much, I was still able to purchase a house. And I say that to say, like, if you're at a starting salary, if you're kind of fresh out of college in your 20s and you're just getting established, it's almost unaffordable to buy a house right now.
I
couldn't buy my own house now that I bought then. You know what I mean? Like, well, I mean, I could buy it now. I'm saying, like, if I was making the money I was making then, now I couldn't buy that house, right?
Yeah, no, you're 110% correct. And that's one of the sad things about it. You know, it's knocking a lot of people like us when we were coming up out of the water, because house prices are going up. So the only thing that I can suggest, Dola, and when you're young, you don't want to be outside of the city, but you got to maneuver outside of the city. You have to maneuver outside of the city because the house prices haven't escalated as they would in the central part of the city outside yet as it is inside. So that would be the only suggestion, or have your parents co-sign. And that's what a lot of kids are doing right now that want to purchase and that mother and father are educated in it. They're using co-signers.
I tell people all the time, like, our rental property, which is down the street from our actual house, is like, I'm trying to schedule that out to pay it off by the time my daughter gets either out of high school or out of college, so she has a place that she can stay and she doesn't have to worry about it. And people think, like, oh, you're spoiling her. I'm like, no, I'm being realistic, because she's not going to have the opportunities that I had, because she's going to be making a bottom salary and there's going to be no place for her to live within 30 miles of where she works. And that's crazy. Like, I want better for my kid than that, you know?
Dola, you're one of the smart ones, brother. You're one of the smart ones. Like, your child can, if she has any friends, she can rent out a room.
Yes.
And she can make money from the paid off house. She can give that money to you, Dola. Yeah. Like, she's living free already. You know what I mean? Like, how could anyone say you're spoiling her when you're getting her ahead in life.
I'm trying to set her up.
That's what the world is. That's what it is. Setting your offspring up to succeed.
Yeah.
Spoiling her. Well, I wish we could get spoiled.
Right.
Dola. like that's one of the smartest things. And I will add on to that, Dola, because you're already on the right track with it. One of the smartest things, and I love to get this information out there, and I've seen it affect my younger brother. One of the smartest things I've ever seen, shout out to my parents, Arden Otilia Blackburn. When my brother was in college, they put him on a credit card, and they gave him that credit card, had a $500 balance. They would pay it off. Because you know, in college, you know, when we were in college, we're not responsible. Like
you'll spend that in a day.
Hey, exactly. We're buying shoes. We're going to party. And right. Then we're never going to pay it off.
No.
So they gave him the $500, told him don't go over $200. And they would pay it off ever since college.
Mm-hmm.
So 18 till he was in 25, 26. I don't know how if he still has it. So Casey was trying to purchase a home, right? So I said, okay, let me run your credit. Let me do everything that I need to do. And I said, okay, what's his credit going to be? He's my little brother. He's probably going to be 660, 680. Right. He's just started. Man, Dola, when I tell you I ran the credit and his credit was 804, and I said, what? His credit was the highest that I had seen at that point in time.
Wow.
And the reason for that was, like I said, shout out to Arden Otilia Blackburn, one of the best parents in the world. Shout out to them. Number one parents in the nation. They put him on that credit card and they built his credit history from college until I think he was 26-ish, around there.
Mm-hmm.
And man, he had an 804 pristine credit. The only account on there, Dola. The wow. only account on there. And it was 804. So that's something that I always tell people with kids as soon as possible. Put them on a credit card to start building their credit so that when it's time, when they get out of college or when they get a job, they have a home buying power. They can get a car instead of a $700 note. It'll be $300, $400. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because credit is everything in the United States of America.
It's crazy that if you're a person that's struggling with income and your credit score is not that great, that you have to pay more money to live than you do if you make good money and all your bills are paid. It's
kind of a
fucked up system, but it is.
It's the system.
It's the system that we're in. Yeah.
And that's why we have to educate as much as possible, Dola, and say the things that we can win and we can get ahead for the people that are coming up, because we've lived a life a little bit. So we have to talk to the people that are coming up and the people below us that, hey, as you're coming up and you're 18, 19, 20 year old, start building that credit history, because it's going to affect you in the long run when you get to start buying houses and trying to get ahead in life.
Yeah, my credit score is still not what it should be because of what I did 20 years ago. You know what I mean?
Man, like I'm telling you, brother.
It should be better.
I was trying to buy my first, lease. My first apartment when I moved to Houston, and back in college, you know, when you have an apartment, you're like, I'm not paying this. They're not paying the bills. I'm not paying the bills.
Right.
Forget it. We'll just leave it at $1,000. They said, hey, this collection has to be paid before we put you in. So if I'm not paying then I'm paying now. So you're always going to have to sacrifice for what you did previous. Everything's going to come to light sooner than later.
Our guy, William Wilson, did the podcast a couple months ago. I love one thing he said was, with buying a home, you don't have to do anything. You just have to live in it and it goes up in value. It's like a no-brainer. You have to pay. You're going to have to pay somebody something to live somewhere.
You got to pay to live.
You're technically making money while you're living, you should totally do this. It's like a hustle. It's like, hey, like.
I got addicted to it.
Yeah.
I got addicted to it.
How many homes do you own?
I'm actually in the midst of selling one, so it'll be nine. It'll be nine doors right now. I'm just trying to keep on building the portfolio right now. But Dola, the first house that I had, brother, I was doing people's mortgages, right? And I kept on seeing homes being sold for outrageous amounts of money. And I was like, well, shoot, if they're selling theirs for that, why can't I just put my home up on the market and see what happens? Man, Dola, I put it up on the market. I got an offer, one of it fell through, and then I just had it on the market because it doesn't cost to put your home on the market, Dola. That's a little gem for everyone also. Yeah, if you get a contract and you still don't want to move forward, you don't have to, just don't sign the contract, you know? Right. But you can test the waters and see what you can get for it. But 3 months later, I had a contract on it. It sold, and I was like, I got all the money that I put in and paid the mortgage for month to month, plus some. Why would I ever rent? Why? So I had to look for another house, Dola. So I had to rent for about 3 months. Every month that I had to pay rent, I hurt myself. It hurt me because of what how I did the house. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
I had paid everything for me and I had gotten all that money back and then some. So renting was just, it just hurt me. So yeah. now renting anything hurts. Even doing Airbnbs now, Dola, it hurts me. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, if I had this Airbnb, I could be living.
If you, if you had an Airbnb in every city, you could just fly right there and be there anytime. Yeah, exactly. Dola, That's my goal in life.
Yeah,
that's what I want to get.
We're on the same wavelength, brother. We're on the same wavelength. So you get
it. I'm gonna tell this quick story and I'll let you out of here. But I always tell people, like, my real estate shit is good. I invested in a neighborhood in Nashville that in the early stages and got in on the ground floor, and it just really it went well. I wasn't trying to invest in real estate, even the condo downtown. I was single. I wanted some fly shit.
I wanted some fly shit to impress women.
I'm being real.
We can be real.
Just being 100% real. And so I bought the condo on the river, and then I was making more money. And I was just like, this thing's 650 square feet. I want to do something bigger. And I found this super fly ass bachelor pad. It was like basically a two-story condo with a rooftop deck. It was a townhouse, basically. And this was before they would put a rooftop deck on everything in Nashville.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, this is going to be my bachelor pad. I didn't think I was ever going to be married. I was like, this is going to be my place forever. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have this home forever. And that is literally the reason why I bought the houses that I bought. It wasn't like, I didn't look at the neighborhood and be like, well, this is going to turn around. I thought it might. I thought it was a good chance, but I didn't know. Shit just blew up, man.
And there was no intentionality in it. But like what you said at the beginning, you have to live somewhere.
Yeah.
The places that you live, you purchase, and now you're reaping the benefits. You're in a beautiful situation with a substantial amount of equity, and that's the beauty of home buying. And that's the word that me and William and people like you want to get out to the people. Home ownership can get you ahead instead of working that 9-to-5 job and the monotony of that and spinning your wheels in the mud. Home ownership can put you ahead where you can breathe. Because in America, they don't want that. They don't want us to breathe.
I tell my wife all the time, we can sell all of our property right now and buy something cash in Ecuador and then just live on the beach for the rest of our lives. She won't do it, but here we are.
See, that's why I like you, though. That's where my mind is at. That's what I'm like. That's exactly how I think, brother. That's exactly how I think. But the thing is, you have that option.
Yes.
And that's what people need in life, the option to be able to do those things.
Absolutely. Arthur Blackburn, where can they find you if they have questions or anything like that?
Really, William Wilson Holmes. Shout out to William Wilson. But ablackburn@nexamortgage.com. Okay. I'm not a social media guy, Dola. I try to stay away from that, brother. I feel like the social media is the devil. It's the temptations, brother. So I got to stay away from there, man.
I understand. He's a good guy, though. I can tell you that. And you've done, I want to say two, maybe three of my mortgages. I can't remember at this point.
Man, we've been doing it throughout the years, brother.
More to come. You've been doing excellent.
Indeed.
More to come for sure.
Indeed.
I appreciate you doing this, brother.
Hey, for sure. I appreciate you, man.
Yes, sir.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even 100-foot screen plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other. Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. I want to say thank you once again to my guest, Arthur Blackburn. As you heard, he doesn't have social, so I'm not going to give his out, but I'll give mine out. You can follow me on the gram right now at DolaWhite101, DolaWhite 101. Twitter is exactly the same as well. Back next week with a brand new episode. My guest will be Grace Ferris. We're talking about mom milestones. I'll explain exactly what the hell that means next week. I want to say thank you for listening to the podcast. No matter what platform you're listening on, please follow or subscribe. If they let you rate and review, do that. Leave me a good review and a good rating too. I definitely appreciate the positivity. If you have something negative to say and you just have to say it, you can always DM me negativity. You don't have to put it in a public forum. I always say that. But anyway, thank you again. Brand new episode next Wednesday. I'm out.